What up, what up? Welcome back to the There's More podcast. This is your host, Hannah Nitz, always here to talk about the more with God. Do you know that there's more for you? Man, I think so often we in the church come to know God. We love him. We're so thankful. We accept salvation. We go through the sanctification process. We begin serving, giving, doing, and sometimes miss this beauty of more for us. More delight in who God is, more enjoyment in his presence. And sometimes we're just so busy with the giving, the serving, the doing, the obeying, that we miss the beauty of this in the secret place. And that's what this podcast is all about. Man, a couple years ago, I began to experience this for the first time. And ever since then, I haven't been able to shut up about it. So we're going to continue today with another episode talking about what is the point of life. Just a light little topic. Here we go. I wanted to start today with the two main reasons why you haven't seen a new podcast episode recently. I'm sorry for that. Reason number one, I'm going to call motherhood. And this is just a fun motherhood time. Don't know if you heard the news, but I actually had a third baby, which is very exciting. She was born April 6th, 2023. She's as cute as you're picturing. Another wonderful Nitz has entered the world. Her name is Florence Glory Nitz, and she is a peach. So Harvey is now 4, Opal is now 2, and Florence is 2 months old. So finding these sweet little corners where there is not one of those children around and I'm still awake, harder to come by than I thought. Reason number two, why you haven't seen too many episodes. Y'all, I am feeling like a kindergartner all over again. So much of this podcast came when in 2019, God just blew my mind open to this reality that there was so much more for me and God, hence the title, so much more for you and God. This was mainly unlocked through learning about time with God, time in God's presence, enjoying time with God, and this amazingness of delight I had never experienced. You've heard me talk about this on the podcast pretty much every episode. This enjoying, this delighting, this there is more. Okay, so why I feel like a kindergartner is I would say in the last 12 months, I have been wrecked that there is even more. Are you ready for this? Oh my goodness. Okay, so 1 year ago, Caleb and I started attending a new church, and it's been one of the absolute greatest spiritual shifts that I've seen for Caleb and I in our home. A couple episodes ago, I shared a sermon with our pastor, Pastor Kevin. And I would just say that this new church has a leadership team that is so fueled by God's presence. Spending time with God, being with God, sitting with him in worship, just learning to exalt the name of Jesus in our lives above all else, seeking him in his word. I have never experienced this in a corporate setting, anything like it. I began to experience this, as you guys have heard on the podcast, on my own in alone time with God, the beauty, the delight of his presence. But all of a sudden, we started going to a church that does this corporately. I thought like time with God on my own was about God, but church was a little bit more about the community, more about people. And we have now entered this church that somehow is also making church about God and people. They are so focused on his presence. So here's what happened this last year. I essentially went from exploding with things that I needed to say out loud and process and teach and share and just feel like I needed to say it all and I couldn't believe it. And that's where the podcast came from. And then all of a sudden, the last 12 months, your girl feels like I got to stop talking. Like, I'm like, wow, I need to sit. I need to listen. I need to take in. I need to observe and learn all of this that's around me in this church and this body of believers and just say, oh my goodness, there's even more. The leadership of this church, the body of believers that we're a part of are teaching me so much that, guys, buckle up. It turns out there's even more for the church. There's even more for the body of Christ. There's even more about God's spirit in you. There's even more. There's more power in the name of Jesus than I ever understood in my entire life. And these last 12 months, I've really just been trying to drink it in. So it's made me a little less podcast happy, podcast producing, because it has been the most beautiful year, but a one of great humility and of learning. So today, though, I am back. Hello, hello, hello. She's back. And it's summer. So you're getting the best version of Hannah, because summertime Hannah is living, grooving, just cooking right. Okay. So summertime Hannah is here. And as the loud, outgoing party planner that I am, it may surprise you, but I spend a decent amount of the day thinking about the purpose of life. I'm dead serious about this. It's almost a joke between Caleb and I at this point, because it's happened enough times to turn into an inside joke where we'll be doing something, we'll be sitting outside, we're out with the kids, maybe we're just sitting on the couch after we put the kids to bed, and we're kind of looking at each other with that exhausted look. Exhausted, you know. And Caleb will look at me and he'll say, "What are you thinking?" And more times than you would expect, I look at him and I say, "I'm thinking about what the purpose of life is." And I'm dead serious. I'm dead serious about this. You've heard me talk about it before, but for the first 30 years of my life, I just always understood that the purpose of life was to give God glory by serving him, by doing awesome things and then giving him the credit. Like, this to me was the picture of God's glory. So God gently taught me 4 years ago, "Hey, Hannah, I don't need anything from you." And if you remember, I did a whole podcast episode on God's glory and how much that understanding has shifted for me. But as that started to shift, the last 4 years, there's these moments that I'm continually wondering, what is the point of the Christian life? And I think it's just because I'm a big picture thinker. So even when I hear someone teaching, if they don't start out their sermon or their talk or their TED Talk or YouTube or whatever with the big picture of where they're going or what the question is or what they're teaching on, it is hard for me to follow. My brain always wants to see the big picture, all right? So, I mean, honestly, I think this is what made me so good at marketing, is because instead of getting into the weeds with these little details that can really trip people up, I was always working with brands and companies and authors to see this big picture of like what the overall feel and brand was, and then working everything towards that. So spiritually, my mind is the exact same thing. I am always thinking about the big picture. What's the point? What are we all doing here? I wonder this all the time. And truly, almost any revelation that I have from God always brings me back to, how does this fit into the big picture, God? What is the big picture point of you and your kingdom? And if you're my friend, you've probably heard me ask you this sometime in the last couple years, because anytime I'm in a slightly serious conversation with another Christian, I'm like, "Hey, what do you think the purpose of the Christian life is?" And you know what's wild? I get a lot of different answers. A lot of different answers. I pulled this on my Instagram once and was shocked at how many different kinds of responses I got. And I was like, it seems like we should all be on the same page on this. But I admitted myself, as I shifted from becoming a worker of God who was very busy to a worshiper of God who just learned to sit and delight in God himself, I felt like the purpose had to be somewhere in there. Like, it has to be to know God, right? Like, is the purpose of the Christian life, the whole point, to know God? But where does it say that? How do I summarize that? Is that just my own opinion? Is this biblical? This is what I'm experiencing. Like, what is the point? Okay. So then I'm pregnant with Florence, baby number 3. Have I told you she's cute? Because she's real cute. And I was given the book by Sam Storms called Pleasures Evermore. Of course, this book came from my cousin, Julie Slattery, the giver of all good things. And the book, here, I have it sitting here right next to me. I'll turn some pages for you. The marketer in me doesn't love the cover, I'll be honest. And the font they used looks like it's an old book. Pleasures Evermore. The life-changing power of enjoying God. That tagline got me. I was interested in that. And I didn't know this dude, Sam Storms, but it came from Julie, and I was like, all right, Let's check this out. The back of the book says, do you know how to enjoy the Christian life? And I thought, this is going to be interesting to me. I'm in. Start reading this book. And let me tell you, the first three chapters of this book sent me spinning. Round and round, up and down, all around. I couldn't get over it. Because I felt like it finally answered this big picture question that I have been wondering and wrestling with and trying to figure out. And my boy Sam Storms put it eloquently. So I've really been thinking about it since reading this book, probably 4 or 5 months ago, close to every day. We're just going to say every week to be safe. Of man, God, is this really the big picture? Okay, so you ready to play this game with me? What's the point of life? It just is like such a funny topic. Okay, here we go. Ready? True or false? This is your quiz. True or false? There's one question. The purpose of life is to glorify God, not to be happy. So if you've been in the church for a lot of your life like I had, the answer to that feels, I don't know, like a pretty easy true. This is what I would have said. Honestly, this is probably what I would have taught. I saw glorifying God as giving him credit for the things that I did. So that was so much of my focus that I was focused on living this life of purpose, doing things for God to give him glory. Duh, not being happy. Okay, so let me hit you with this. I would now say, drum roll please, that statement is false. Sounds crazy, right? Like, the purpose of life is to glorify God, not to be happy. Hannah's gonna say that's false. Yeah, I know. So all these years that I'm spending trying to think about the purpose of life, I am truly beginning to believe and to experience that the purpose of the Christian life, the goal of life, the purpose of it all, is to pursue happiness by pursuing it in God. So essentially, my point, and so much of what I learned from this book, Sam Storms, and have been on this rabbit hole of delight since, is the idea that there is no greater way to glorify God than to find in him the happiness that my soul desperately craves. Okay, so this book talked a lot about a term that you may have heard before called Christian hedonism. And let me just define that. A Christian, someone who seeks God's glory above everyone else, and a hedonist is one who seeks pleasure above everything else. So the Christian is focused on God's glory. The hedonist is focused on pleasure. So can you put these two together? Like, can you be a Christian hedonist? Believe in Christian hedonism? I know these are heavy terms, but just stick with me. It sounds opposite. But what if we could actually experience the ultimate pleasure in life through God himself? Christian hedonism says that we glorify God by enjoying God. Okay, so this term, Christian hedonism, is a term that I was introduced to actually back in college when I read John Piper's book called Desiring God. And I'm sure many of you have either read that book or heard of this term or maybe even heard this proposal before of the purpose of life being to glorify God by enjoying him. But when I read this book, I was 18 years old and I didn't fully get it. I think I could have defined the term, I could have summarized the book, but my soul and my spirit were yet to experience this level of delight in God. And maybe that's you. Like, maybe when I started this episode and I'm talking about all this, you're like, yeah, the point of life, Hannah, is to glorify God. I grew up in the church. I know my Bible. I'm a Christian. I follow Jesus. I know that the point is to glorify God. But my question would be, but how do you most glorify God? And I want you to sit and think about that for a while, because that comes with a lot of, the term baggage feels a little too extreme, but I'm going to use it anyway. Defining how we glorify God comes with a lot of baggage, depending on what you learned growing up, depending on what you've learned in your church, depending on what you've heard from other Christians who you trust in your life, of what in life gives God the most glory. For some of us, the answer to that may have been obeying God, doing what he's asked me to do, or following the kind of Christian rules that have been set up around me, having a biblical worldview, having a healthy marriage. Maybe it's more in the serving category, like giving God my life, raising my children to know him. Are any of these things bad or off? No, absolutely not. These are all amazing, beautiful things. But the question of the point of life, if you think that the way you give God the most glory is through obeying, you know, the Christian rules and the Christian worldview, man, I just want to tell you that there's so much more. There's so much more. And there's such a deeper glory for God to receive from your life than just a rule obedience. Okay, so let me just come back to this point, okay? Or maybe hit it for the first time. Do you know this? Breaking news. We all want to be happy. You listening to this, your mom, your dad, your brother, your kid, all of us. Everything we do as humans is pointed towards it. It's seeking it. Truly, there is not an exception to this. We all seek happiness. And it may look different. Like for some of us, it may mean that we do accept a job or we don't. Or we make different choices with our families or our free time or how we spend money. At the end of the day, what we are working towards, no matter what it looks like, is happiness. Jonathan Edwards, I love this simple quote from him. He said, "There is no man upon earth who isn't earnestly seeking after happiness." Now, here's where I think we've gotten a little messed up. I think in the church, we've seen this. We've felt this. We all feel this draw towards happiness. And we've labeled it as our flesh. Or we've labeled it as this is sinful. Like if something in me is desiring pleasure and happiness, like we need to shut that down. We need to quench it. We need to stop it out. We need to turn our hearts away from anything that feels too pleasurable or too drawing us in. And what I'm arguing is that this pleasure, this happy seeking pursuit that is in your heart, I believe it's hidden in each of us for a very specific reason, and it isn't sin. It was put there by your creator. It was put there by your father. It was put there by God because it's a deep hunger that we all have. And Christ himself holds the satisfaction in his presence. It's like this beautiful pursuit where he tucked deep within each of us, in our souls, in our hearts, in our bodies, this desire for the greatest joy and happiness. And then he himself is it. And he invites us to taste and see that the Lord is good. So we all know that what we value the most in life, if you think about the things that are most valuable to you, it is the things that we delight in the most. And essentially, with this mindset, I'm like, man, pleasure is not a competition to God. It's not something that competes against him. Idols are. Pleasure just measures how valuable something is to you, right? So in this quote, in this book, Sam Storm said, "Pleasure is the measure of our treasure." Okay? So how much we enjoy something, it's like, yeah, this directly correlates to how valuable this is to us and how treasurable this is to us. And we know this. Like you and I experience this. Let's just even say in relationships, okay? Let's say that you and I are really good friends. And if you're hanging out on the podcast, we kind of are. So if you and I are friends and we're hanging out one day, drinking some iced lattes, drinking some Diet Coke, and I say to you, hey, I really enjoy being with you. Now, you would not in that moment accuse me of being a pleasure-seeking, self-centered person, right? You wouldn't be like, Hannah's just here for the pleasure. If I turn to you and say, man, I really enjoy being with you, this delight that I have in hanging out with you is evidence that there is value in my heart for you. Like I treasure being with you. I'm enjoying this. I have great value in who you are because I love being with you. In fact, you'd be dishonored if you were in a friendship, in a relationship, and there was never any pleasure. And you've probably done this before. Have you hung out with someone before and you've left and you've been like, yeah, if they text me again, I'm going to say I'm busy. Like, you didn't enjoy it. There's no pleasure in that friendship. There's no pleasure in that relationship. Guys, this, God created this. He created pleasure. He created relationships to model this for us. This same thing is true of God. If God is the source of our greatest delight and our greatest pleasure and our greatest treasure, it makes us radically God-centered and not self-centered. When we treasure God the most, we glorify Him the most, because we're not just putting on, like, this is what I'm supposed to say as a Christian, or this is what I'm supposed to believe, or like, we do this because we're supposed to. We go to church because we're supposed to. We serve because it's the right thing to do. It comes out of this abundance and this joy when you can't get enough of the goodness of God and you want to be with Him and you want to sit with Him and you want everything to be about Him, not because you're supposed to, but because it is truly the most delightful thing on the planet. And this is where He gets glory, because I, as a extroverted person who loves people and loves going out and loves doing all these things, above all else, I say, God, my greatest joy is hiding in my prayer room with You, not because I'm supposed to, but because out of all this other stuff, You are my greatest delight. I'm not doing this out of obedience. I'm not doing this, I mean, a little bit, but you know what I mean. I'm not doing this because I have to. I'm doing this because You are my greatest treasure. And that is what glorifies our Father. This is how we feel most love in relationships. This is how we feel most love in our marriages, when our spouse is choosing us, pursuing us, wanting to be with us. And this is, in fact, the greatest gift of glory that we give to our God. Okay, so does the Bible teach this? Am I making this up? Does this just sound good? I don't know. No. Okay, so I would challenge you to read through the Bible and see if there's anywhere that God condemns people for their happiness or their delight. And what I would argue is that people are condemned for forsaking God and seeking happiness elsewhere. So you see this in story after story, especially in the Old Testament, when God's chosen people are essentially choosing anything over God over and over and over again. Man, and throughout the New Testament, when the command is to turn from the flesh and walk in the Spirit, it's like anything that is giving more pleasure than God is called an idol. Man, and this is this proposal where it's like, man, God wants to be and is our greatest treasure, not just our greatest truth. It's like He becomes our greatest delight, not just a belief. And our highest pleasure, not just the man in charge or the worldview that I follow. Do you know what I mean here? And you see this difference? And you've probably heard me babble on about this verse because it's the shortest summary of the greatest pleasure in Psalm 16:11. In Your presence, there is fullness of joy. At Your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I've loved this verse the last couple years, and Sam Storms in this book uses it over and over and over again, saying, if you're looking for fullness of joy, fullness of happiness, and pleasures forevermore, Psalm 16 tells us where it's at. It's in God's presence. Now, let me give you a little twist and shake here, a little twist and shout. I'm impressing a little... a little touchy, a little deeper here. I've done this Christian thing forever. I'm very accustomed with the evangelical life. I often joke that I feel like I'm Northeast Ohio's, like, on my resume, I would be the most well, what do I say? I'm messing up my words. Well-rounded evangelical 30-year-old. What's the phrase? It's like, I've done the Christian school, I've done the ministries, I've done being a part of these huge churches. It's like, I've kind of walked this road. And here's where this gets a little bit twisted. Sometimes in my life, personally, the first 30 years of my life, I would hear something like this, okay? I would hear a talk on this, on God being our delight, on the pleasure with Him, on, you know, seeking Him above all else. And I would think, man, I'm nailing this. And here's why. Because I assumed that the things of God and God were the same thing. So when I found greatest delight in the husband that God gave me, the kids that he blessed me with, this amazing life that God's given me, my church, my biblical community, the serving and engagement that I've gotten from God, you know, if these things fulfill me, this means I'm experiencing this, right? Like I'm experiencing this delight and is in God. And where I'm going to push back on this is those things are fantastic, amazing, beautiful gifts, things that should and do fill our heart in beautiful ways. But friends, this is different from God himself. Finding our delight and our joy in our family, in our kids, in our life, in our ministry, in loving and serving others, that is beautiful. And that honors God in a beautiful way. But that is not God's presence. Those are the things of God. Those are great gifts from God. But that is not God himself. And this is, it feels like a small shift, but it is a huge difference. And what I'm arguing is that you shouldn't enjoy these things less. This isn't a guilt trip. It's not like, you better watch out. You probably like your life too much. Or like, you're enjoying that spouse and those kids or that serving or that biblical community too much. No, 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 no. It's not taking away your pleasure and your enjoyment in those things. But it is instead treasuring God even more. So when you think of the things in life that bring you the greatest delight, that's great. Keep them there. But imagine if your time with your Father and your time with your Creator, these moments of intimate worship and prayer and reading his word and revelations from him and experiencing God and sitting in his presence and sitting in his stillness and waiting for the Lord brought you even more pleasure than that. And man, I think that's what we were created for. I think that's the whole point. And I think it has been all along that from Genesis to Revelation, we see this pursuit that God has of his people, not just so that we know him and not just so that like we have this relationship and he gives us this amazing gift of salvation, but that we experience such union with him and that our delight in him becomes greater than anything else. It's like our taste buds shift and the things that were once so delicious still are, but all of a sudden we've tasted something even better and the goodness of God is there. And as we delight in him, it brings him the ultimate glory. So what's the whole point? If the whole point is to bring God glory, is to glorify God with our life, what would it look like for us to become people who actually do this, not by being busier, not by making sure we're following more of the rules, but by learning to delight in his presence? And friend, if this is the point, you have access to it. Do you know that? If as you've engaged time with God, time in the Bible, time in prayer, time alone with your Father, and you have not even come close to this level of delight I'm talking about, man, buckle up. Because it's there and it's available and it's for you. And your Father longs for you to delight in time with him. So Father, we just come to you now with that request that these men and women who are listening to this and are saying, man, God, I want to give you the most glory. If that's the whole point, that's all I want is I want to glorify you, Father. I want to glorify you, Jesus. I want to glorify you, Holy Spirit. Show us, teach us, Father, what it looks like to unwrap this delight. And will you just reveal it to those who are listening? Just teach them, Holy Spirit, how to find this time with you, how to rest in this time with you and not make it accomplishing things, but the goodness, the fullness of joy, the pleasures forevermore of your presence. May we learn to sit in it, wait in it, abide in it, and delight in it. Hey, if you're looking to delight in God more and this enjoyment we're talking about, That's literally why this podcast exists. So scrolling through some past episodes, I think might really give you a good picture of what that could look like. Some places to start with some of that. There's a episode called I'm Canceling Your Quiet Time, where a group of us talk about this concept for a while. And then there was also a Q&A about your time with God. Those are both great episodes on this whole concept. But there's so many more that I am confident that as you begin to listen to some of this and sit with your Father and ask for it, you will not be disappointed. So thanks again for listening. And I just really want you to know, have you heard the news? Do you know, friend, that there is more?